This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode from the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and to my right is my brother, one of my best friends, Owen Redmond. Welcome to the podcast, bro.
Thanks for having me on, dog. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir, bro. It's been a long time. It's been, I think, 3 or 4 months since you've hopped on the podcast last. For those that are watching, if you haven't seen that episode, please go check it out. It's kind of just a basic intro of how me and Owen met, obviously through the game of basketball, and then how our friendship is today, as well as his experience in the shoe world, as well as selling streetwear at Dayton University. So go check out that episode. But today, bro, me and you just got back from a nice game of golf. Thoughts on today's play?
I went low today. I felt good about it. You know, we got a couple pars. We were feeling good out there.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I didn't hit a single par. I think I hit like bogey or double bogey. I don't know. It was pretty bad out there. But overall, Owen played great today. And listen, I love golf. Owen loves golf. And listen, I trust Pins and Aces on the golf course. They're a Colorado golf brand, making polos, head covers, and gloves that stand out for style and comfort. With my code LionsCove, you'll get 21% off. That's the best discount they offer. And when you buy, I earn a small commission, which helps support me and the show. So please use code LionsCove at Pins and Aces today.
And polos look sick too, I will say. They look pretty good.
What?
Polos look sick.
Hey, polos do look sick, so make sure you go check them out and use code LionsCove. So thank you very much. But to start off with Owen, obviously, owner and founder of OTG Kicks and Apparel, officially launched in March of 2020, right after the pandemic. So what motivated you to start the business during such an uncertain time, and what were those early days like as you began building the brand?
Yeah, like you were saying, it was COVID. So as everybody knows on this, listening to this podcast, it was rough out there. And really what made me start this company, I guess we can go all the way back to when I was young. I always had a passion for shoes. My parents had always wanted to buy me the best basketball shoes, whatever it might have been. So I kind of took it upon myself to figure out a way to flip some of my own stuff, shovel driveways, sell silly bands, whatever it is at high school football games to rack up that cash. And that passion built, you know, in high school, like when I wanted all the freshest J's or the Yeezys or whatever it was. Started selling shoes in high school. Wasn't much of it freshman year. And then sophomore year, I really got in the weeds of it. Junior year is when this started in 2020 for me, and COVID hit, and I was so thankful for that because shoes were really popping off at this time. 2018 to 2020 was like prime time for shoes, and Supreme, and people that know streetwear know, like, it was the time. I loved it. It was great. And why build an LLC? Well, it got to the point where I was buying and selling so much that financially, like shout out to the IRS, like I had to start filing taxes, and I wanted to become official and be able to work under a real name that I created and build my own brand off my own Instagram account. And that's where we got going.
Yeah, and what's crazy too is that like when you go on your Instagram account, the first picture that shows up is you in like a bulldozer with piles of shoes. I mean, it's crazy. You know, obviously just being one of your best friends, just seeing how you took your business from, you know, kind of at like a smaller level to, you know, buying probably thousands of shoes. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I was selling, like you said, thousands of shoes. I've sold tens of thousands probably in my lifetime. And it got, in COVID specifically, online was the way to go. Like we weren't allowed to do a lot of meetups. I was buying and selling via websites and retailers online, reselling on secondary platforms like eBay, StockX, and Goat. Those were going crazy. At this time, during COVID in 2020, eBay wasn't known for selling shoes on like the websites or social media or anything. And they dropped their seller's fees online, which is how a lot of these companies make their money, to 0%. So I was able to buy a pair of shoes for $160 and resell it for $250, $300 without them taking a dime from me.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like I was selling it in person, except I had literally the web at my fingertips to sell the shoes.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was a fun year where they had zero fees on that app, which not anymore. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And then, I mean, even like sports cards like blew up. I mean, there were a bunch of other like, you know, kind of like, I mean, obviously shoes are an everyday thing. Sports cards isn't. But I mean, you just saw like the online shopping just explode.
Yeah. And you think about it, back to during COVID, that's when the stimulus checks were coming out too. So people were getting X amount of money, thousands of dollars that they weren't doing anything. They're sitting at home, paying rent, not paying rent, and they had all this money to online shop. What else to buy except the newest and hottest sneakers coming out, you know, or streetwear. So yeah. It was great.
Wow, brother. Awesome. So then when it comes to the shoes themselves, how did you decide which pairs or styles to bring into the business? Is it more about your personal taste, what's trending, or what kind of like your customers are asking for?
Yeah, valid question. This is probably the number one question I get from people. Like, how the heck do you know what pairs of shoes to buy? Well, what's hot right now? What are people wearing? What are the celebrities wearing? Michael Jordan, his sneaker line, his signature line. How these releases work is they'll come out with whatever style it is in this colorway, and it'll drop on this date, and it's not restocking again. Like, it's coming out one time, and if you don't buy it on that Saturday that it comes out or whatever day it is, you're not gonna touch it. It's not gonna come out for another 15 years. So that's where the demand came. And by studying the market, this is honestly a lot of time that I put in myself, is figuring out what colorways, what models, what sizes are gonna hit. So you have to take into account the stock numbers of the shoe when it comes out, which is information not everybody has access to, and I would pay for through Discord groups that you could join. That way they would feed me this information in the community of people on there, and I would know what to target on any given Saturday or what to go after. And on these platforms like StockX and Goat, you can actually look at it like a stock market. It is a live feed
really
of what's going on with the shoe. So if you were to pull this up right now on your phone or your laptop, look up StockX.com, you can see Jordan 1 Chicago, the highest bid right now in a size 10.5, say it's $250. Well, you could bid $251 to be the highest bid, but the lowest ask is what me as a seller or anybody in the world is willing to sell that shoe at right now. So it's live, the lowest possible amount that someone would sell it at. Let's say it's $300. Well, that's where you find out as a consumer, do I buy the shoe at $300 right now, or do I outbid the other consumer that wants to bid $250 and I bid $251 or I bid $260. And that's really how the market evens out. It's like a stock where people want to buy and sell at, and it really becomes a consumer's game and a seller's atmosphere.
Dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
So, I mean, pretty much kind of going into it, you were just, I mean, from what it sounds like, you were going after almost a sense of everything, you know, like taste, like what you thought was, you know, going to be next. And then obviously what's trending, like what the celebs are going, and then obviously what your people are asking for.
Yeah.
So you were kind of using everything.
That's a great way to summarize it. You really got it right there. It's what are people wearing? You know, what are, at that time, what are the TikTokers wearing too? Like whatever shoe Addison Rae put on, every girl was buying. every single girl. Whatever Jordan 1 mid she put on, Jordan mids are trash. But whatever shoe she put on, it was popping off. And
wow.
It was – it's still that way, but not to that degree in any extent. Now, you know, it's something different. There's completely oversaturation in the market and the amount of shoes that are coming out. But then, like, you got to read and react. What colorways are hidden? What models are hidden? What sizes are hidden? So, like, what age group or who's buying the shoe?
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, we've seen with, you know, your even brand, you've been branching out even from shoes, going to Xboxes, going to Nintendo Switches. Yeah. I mean, you've really expanded outside of, like, the shoe market. So now has that kind of, like, is that kind of, like, the same way as selling shoes? In like a way, I don't know.
No.
I don't know if that question was right. But.
No, that's valid. 100%. It is similar. You know, believe it or not, StockX. This is a shoe and streetwear platform. You can also buy and sell Nintendo Switches, PS5s, electronics, Labubus, or whatever the heck those things are.
Yeah.
Pokemon cards, basketball cards, like you're doing. Like all these things, you can buy and sell, and it's just up to you. The consumer or the seller, like, what do you want to pick and choose? What's your market? What's your niche? And my niche was shoes. That's what I was focused on. There was other stuff you could sell on. Like, sometimes I'd flip some electronics. But, yeah, it was about what was your niche and what you could buy and sell at the time. For me, I was just trying to get my hands on whatever was profitable, you know, just a high school kid trying to make some money.
Wow. Awesome, bro. So then, since starting OTG Kicks, what's been one of the most memorable sneaker requests or customer stories that really stuck with you?
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of great customers over the years, and truly it's a blessing to be able to say that I had a customer base that people would text me weekly about the shoe that's coming out, the sizes they needed for them or their family members or friends. And it's really cool to see how shoes and streetwear would bring people together. But I would say the craziest, not like the craziest request, but the coolest one is when I started selling to a local resale store in a Cleveland mall. I don't want to give names, but he would ask me to bring him 75 pairs of shoes a week. Bring me as many as you can of these models in these sizes. I don't care like what they are. Just bring them to me and I'm going to buy them off you. And that was the craziest, like mind blowing to me is, even a senior year of high school, going into senior year, I would go to baseball tournaments over the summer, and I knew in the back of my mind, I got to get to the mall in the middle of my game, after my game, before my next one. I got to go to the mall and buy 20 pairs of shoes, 30 pairs of shoes to be able to bring to my buyer on Sunday morning. Like, I would literally go to my baseball tournament, play a game, go to the mall, go back, play another game, drive home, drive to the mall in the morning at like 7 a.m. before my next game, before, you know, the playoffs start of the tournament,
yeah,
and drop him off the shoes, get my money, go back, go to the game. Like, it was, this is why I quit baseball going into my senior year, because I loved what I was doing, and those requests were just so, like, imagine you're a junior in high school going into senior year, and you're getting asked to buy 75 pairs of shoes, the kind of money that you're getting, and I didn't even want to play baseball anymore.
Dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I always knew that, like, you didn't want to play baseball, but, like, dude, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of fell out of love with baseball, which we talked a little bit about in the other podcast.
Yeah.
And that was one thing. I didn't fall out of love with basketball. I still love baseball. I just didn't want to play it then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's why I quit baseball and kept doing shoes. I fell in love with the grind. I fell in love with meeting my customer's needs and that customer, you know, just basis of what I had. And when those people would text me on Monday, hey, these are coming out on Saturday, I need these for my daughter, I need these for my cousin and my friend, heck yeah, I would love to put a smile on your guys' faces. I can't wait to meet up with you. And that was just so much for me and why I fell in love with sales. I kind of fell in love at a young age.
Dude, that is so awesome, brother.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to pick your top three sneakers of all time, what would they be and why?
Models or specific shoes?
Let's go specific shoes.
All right. This is great, honestly. When I was in third grade, a lot of people are going to remember this that are like 22 years, 23 years old. The Free Run 3. If you know, you know. Like, that shoe was it. There was no, like, when you tie the shoe, there was no tongue on the shoe. It was like a sock that you were wearing.
Really?
It was just one of my favorite shoes of all time. Also the Roche Run.
Yeah.
When Kanye was wearing those, everybody wanted them, and they were so sought after. That was just such a great time to be alive. And thirdly, the shoe that made me fall in love with sneakers is the Cavs Jordan 4. So it's a Jordan model. The style is Jordan. It's the model of a Jordan 4. So there's like 30 different Jordans that have 30 different Jordan models. The fourth model and the colorway, that's called the Cavs, which is a black base with the OG like royal blue and that like strong orange colorway accent on the shoe. It was pure. And I bought it 6 years ago. I wore it for a year. And I ended up selling it. That's like my biggest regret is selling that shoe because it's still my favorite shoe ever. And I have yet to buy it again because I just don't want to spend the money on it. But
yeah.
I need to get that. So thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, bro. Got you, man.
Man.
Dude, that's crazy. Well, also, speaking of one thing, I'll never forget over COVID when I was really big like with sports cards. And I'll never forget the Target by your house was stocked. And I was like, Owen, I was like, you need to go grab these cards. I was like,
the contender packs.
Yeah. So, and like, all right, listen, this was the Joe Burrow draft class. This was Justin Herbert. This was Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I mean, they had absolute studs. And it was so funny. So Owen just buys 8 boxes. He's like, dude, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I got to buy all of them. Evidently, they're worth money.
So then Owen eventually ended up returning them after a week. And I was like, bro, like, those one day are going to be expensive. Now they're going for $100 a box.
Well, yeah, because I bought them and they were going for less than what I bought them for. And they were supposedly the hottest boxes at that time. Well, I made a mistake by returning them the next week because now they're worth like 5 times the money.
It was so funny because once Owen told me, I was like, bro, like, come on. And then now, like, you like look online, like these old sports cards.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Just going for insane prices.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean your pack was horrible too.
Yeah, we did rip a box. I remember that. That's what it's called when you open a box, you rip it. Oh gosh, we got the worst people ever.
It was so bad. It was so funny. So you know what, if you would have got like a Joe Burrow or a Herbert, maybe you would have kept the boxes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I would have been more enticed to see what other value was in there.
Still, bro, that was one of like my favorite memories of like all time.
Yeah.
It was so.
We were so fired up too. Like you drove right over when I got those boxes. I was like, Cello, bro, my Target literally had like 10 boxes. I bought all of them. Oh, and you spent like $500 on sports cards. Yeah, but aren't they good? No, that was, and then I returned them all next week and now they're worth like 5x a box.
Right, bro. Crazy.
Oh, gosh.
But hey, that just shows what the market's like. I mean, with shoes, cards, anything, bro.
Dude, but to your point earlier, like that's supply and demand. The demand during COVID was through the freaking roof, man. And it's just, it's not where it is right now. There's the demand is not there, period. It's not there. I don't know what it's like with sports cards. I'm sure you can speak to that a lot better than me.
I mean, it's kind of like the same thing almost. Like,
yeah.
You almost don't want to buy boxes that, you know, don't guarantee a certain amount of inserts or a certain amount of like autographs or boxes. And plus, I mean, it's like $30 a box now compared to $20 during COVID.
Right.
I mean, you bought those boxes for $19.99.
Yeah.
It guaranteed you an autograph or a like jersey card. Nowadays, people are paying $30, $35 for a box that doesn't guarantee you anything.
Right. And let me touch on that too. You said you want to buy the specific boxes now that have a jersey or a signature.
Yeah.
Back then, it was you want to buy whatever box because whatever box was profitable because there was a shortage. Same thing with shoes. Every single Jordan that came out, it didn't matter the model, it didn't matter the colorway, it didn't matter if it was a Jordan 1 high or a Jordan 1 mid or a Jordan 1 low, like Obviously, there's a ton of variety there, but every single Jordan that came out was profitable. And you could walk into any given mall, go to any retail store, and I guarantee you there would be five shoes on the shelf that you could buy. And that's just where I was like, this is like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
And that's what it was with cards. And that's why we like, when you called me, I was like, let's go. You were fired up.
Dude, it's crazy though, yeah, man. It's insane. Man, so next question. Running a sneaker and apparel business means sales is at the core of everything. So you've been strong at connecting with people as always. Me and you are both outgoing people, love to meet new people as always. So why do you think being good at sales is such an important skill in both business and in life?
Yeah, it is. Sales, we sell every day. Every day, everybody's selling, whether you're in sales, whether you're not, whether you're working a business job, whether it's accounting, marketing, finance, you can be a doctor. At the end of the day, you're selling yourself, because when you walk up to someone and you meet them and you're personable, or you shake their hand and look them in the eye and you show them respect, you're selling yourself and who you are, your character, your name. Sales, it can be viewed negatively, I think, by a lot of people. Like if you tell someone you're a salesman, oh, you're slick, you're this, you're that, you try to manipulate people. But if you find like a true salesman or someone that actually cares about you and your needs, at the end of the day, I do sales outside of OTG Kicks and Apparel. I sell for a living as my job, my corporate job. I just want to help people solve problems. Like, tell me about what's going on that I can help you with the solution. What are the gaps that you're seeing? And I think it's more than just a baseline level. Like, you sell yourself, you sell products, you sell services, but you want to be true to your character. And I think integrity is very real, and something that we all need to carry with us is being honest and being genuine. And that's something that doesn't matter if you're in sales or not, you just want to be as a person. And those are some things I see in both business and personally that you want to do.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that was honestly like the best answer to that whole question. I mean, it's just, you know, even like in sales, you know, in business and in life, obviously it's just having like the best first 5 or 6 or 7 intro, you know, like you want to have like a great intro, just, you know, basically, you know, wanting to solve people's problems. I mean, I'm not the best at sales. I mean, I've never done sales, but at the same time, like, I can have a conversation trying to help people solve their problem. Mm-hmm. Or I can have a conversation of just, you know, helping get something done, get something sold.
Yeah.
I feel like sales is truly important, because that's what really takes people to the next level. I mean, I've seen people on Instagram interview all these people. They're so good at sales, and that's why they're so rich. That's why they're so, you know, wealthy. Because they're so good at sales, they know how to sell their products, sell their brand. And obviously, like with this podcast, I want to sell my brand. I want to sell, you know, hey, like, we offer, you know, insights in sports. We give perspectives from college athletes, from people that have played at high level, you know, D1, D2, D3, even, you know, having business owners, having artists, having people that are also trying to build their own brand. I feel like that's also really important, like talking to people that are in the same boat, like boat as you, that want to build their brand, want to build their passion. And I feel like that's what separates, you know, the normal people from the above average people, and the above average people that just want to be better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that was a good response, but yeah. I mean, it's essentially what it is.
I like that. And I think you do a great job. And one part of sales I think some people might miss on is what you want to do is you want to listen more than you talk. So with your podcast, you want to listen to the feedback from the people that are watching or listening to your podcast. What's getting the most views? What do they want to hear more about? By listening to what they have to say and taking into account their considerations and their thoughts, they'll open up more about what's true and what's important to them. And that way you can best serve their needs. So that's really what sales is all about, is listening and being able to ask the right questions to get people to tell them what's really bothering them. And through these podcasts, you help people, you know, people, whether it's about DJing or selling stuff or personal connections or weightlifting, like, you're guiding that to get that to the right people. And you're selling your brand by listening to what other people have to say, what they want to hear from you and your host, your co-host. And you do a great job of that, Cello. You do.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. So looking back on your journey so far, Owen, obviously you've done so much throughout, you know, your whole career. Honestly, I mean, your whole business career. So what's it called? What does success mean to you personally? And how has your faith shaped both your life and the way you approach building your brand?
That's a great question. Success. I don't know if I can say for a fact that I've been there. Like, there are minor successes for sure. Like, selling at OTG, Kicks and Apparel, selling at the University of Dayton through my clothing brand there, graduating high school and college. Those are successes. But in my eyes, like, success at the end of the day is, like you said, to tie it back to my faith, is being a man of God. And I think putting God and Jesus first in my life and making it to heaven at the end of the day is going to be a successful life while I'm able to provide for my family and love and care for those around me. Now, I know that might sound a little bit deep, but that is success, and especially tied in with faith. Like, I want to be genuine. I want to have integrity. I want to be a great best friend. I want to be a great husband, a great brother, a great son. And successful is the day that, you know, I'm able to successfully say that everybody around me is proud of the person that I've become, and that God and Jesus are willing to accept me and bring me into the gates of heaven, which I know none of us are worthy without his grace, but truly through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is possible.
Dude, that was beautiful. Seriously, bro. I mean, that's like so true. It's like, I feel like when we were kids, we were more so like defining success as like, oh, the nice cars, the nice houses, the nice, you know, pools in the backyards, like, you know, kind of like the most materialistic things. I feel like as we've gotten older, we're more so like focused on, you know, I want to be a great husband, a great brother, great son, you know, even just like a great friend, like everything. I feel like that's so important, like the person that you are and the person that you want to become. It's not more so the materialistic things, like, you know what, as long as my family, my friends, the people around me are happy, like, I'm always going to be happy, and as long as I'm staying true to myself, that's what's really going to matter. And obviously, you know, following God and, you know, whatever he leads us through in life, because obviously we don't know our plan, but obviously just keeping our head down and working.
For sure. And it's always going to be to the best of our abilities, because I'm nowhere close to perfect. None of us are anywhere close to perfect. We're sinners. But, you know, just being the best we can be at the end of the day is what's important.
Yeah. And then even kind of going like back on the success part, it's like, you know, yes, we've had success throughout our life, but at the same time, we know that we're not where we want to be yet.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that looks like in a few years, mm-hmm. but obviously we know that we're on the right path to it because we're authentic, we're ourselves, and you know, we're following God.
100%.
Yes, sir,
brother. You already know, brother.
So what do friendship and family mean to you, and how do they keep you grounded? And over this past year, what's one lesson or experience that's really changed your perspective on life?
Wow, yeah, that was a bad question.
Yeah, come on, bro. FTLC.
Sorry, say that again. Friends and family.
Yeah, so what do friends and family mean to you? How do they keep you grounded?
Okay.
And then what's one lesson or experience that's changed your perspective on life this year?
Friends and family are everything, especially family, because it's blood. And you're never going to have anybody closer than the people that share your own blood. That sounds weird, but like, friends, some friends come and go. Best friends stay forever, obviously. Like, I always have your back. Our friends, our true friend always has your back. Your family will have your back no matter what. You fall into the worst circumstances possible, you can rely on your family, obviously, through your good to fruition and treating them well. But without my family, I would not be the person I am today. Through their love and care for me and support, it's just, you take it for granted. Honestly, you do. You wake up in the morning, and maybe you live at home, maybe you don't, but you think about when you're a kid and your parents will help you get ready for school. They drive you to school. They cook your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, take you to practice. Like, they don't have to do any of that stuff. They can tell you you're not playing sports, or they cannot send you to the right school, or they cannot house you and where you're housing you. You can be in a much worse situation. But we're not. Like, we're here. We're living. We're in America. We're in the best country in the world. And for that, like, I'm thankful. And I have a great group of friends that I'm very thankful for. And having people you can fall back on is great when you're having a good day or a bad day and people are supporting you. It's a great feeling. And one scenario that has changed, what was it again?
Like, what's one lesson or experience that's changed your perspective on life?
Wow. I wouldn't say there's one experience or lesson, but I would say death has definitely changed my view on life. You know, losing 3 grandparents at a really young age and having one left and just not having that relationship with them and having aunts or uncles or whatever it may be pass away too. It's tough to watch. At the end of the day, we all go through birth and death. Like, everything in the middle, you know, experiences change, but we all go through those two cycles no matter how much money, not how much power. And losing someone is truly eye-opening. If you have lost someone, you understand that. And I say that's what has given me a different perspective on trying to attack each day with purpose.
Yeah, and like, kind of going off of that, the one thing that's changed my life has been working part-time at a cemetery. I mean, I worked at a cemetery that had 50,000 graves, and every day I would go into work and pretty much just see graves. I'd be, you know, seeing last names, first names, birth dates, death dates. I mean, if you really think about it, like, that's where everyone's going to end up one day. Like, that's where everyone's going to end up. And it changed my perspective because it was like, wow, like, you know, these people may not have had the opportunity to, you know, do certain things that they've always wanted to accomplish. It's like, I'm not guaranteed what tomorrow's going to look like. So it's like, if I just take today, at least do something to help better myself, or, you know, do something positive that can make someone else's day better, like, that's been the main goal. So each day I try to find something that I can look myself in the mirror at night and say, hey, like, you really did that for someone, or hey, like, you made someone's day better, or hey, you did this for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's definitely changed. Like, death is definitely a big part. And I feel like as we, you know, get older, like, we start to realize that, like, as a kid, we're kind of just, you know, stress-free, not really worrying about much. But as we get older, we kind of understand more and, you know, think about that more.
Those priorities are stacking up, man. They are, slowly but surely.
Dude, it's crazy, man.
It's wild. It's the wild stuff.
So basketball has been a big part of our friendship and our bond. And that's how we met, obviously, in the sixth grade, TNBA. So how do you think the game has evolved for us over the years, especially thinking back to playing in the CSS for the first time this summer?
Are we officially Unks?
Yeah, bro, we're Unks, man.
I mean, the game, I will say, like, dude, growing up, the game has changed so much. We're only 23 years old, but come on. Like, everybody's shooting threes. Everybody is attacking the rim with purpose. Big guys are not just big guys anymore. They need to shoot too. It's really fun to just kind of watch this stuff. And the NBA is changing. That's my perspective of what you were saying in that question. It's just people are out there running and gunning, shooting threes. Even the younger kids that I'm watching, they kick our butts, dude.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there's kids pulling from half court.
Not now, but like when we were younger, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, like, even on like TikTok, on Instagram, I mean, what's crazy, me and my uncle were actually talking about this in a podcast it'll already be dropped by then. But we kind of talked about how kids nowadays will post on like Instagram and TikTok, like their like highlights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we never did that. Our highlights would just go directly to Huddle. And it would be posted on YouTube, maybe. But, I mean, you look now, I mean, there are highlights everywhere.
I got a bone to pick with that, man.
Why?
People are making the game too individualized. Everybody's out there to score their points, to get their rebounds, whatever it is. Like, it is not a team sport anymore. That is where I think we're struggling. And I think AAU's not bridging any gap. It's just making everything worse. It's everything's a showcase. Like you said, everybody's posting their highlights out there, to your point. Like, I've never posted a highlight tape, ever. My dad made me one for my birthday. It's on YouTube. Shout out, Dad. That was pretty awesome gift. It has my sophomore highlights on there. But like,
yeah, that was sick, bro.
It was all of 10 minutes, and that's all I have. I have a couple Huddle highlights out there that I didn't make. It was just pre-made. But everybody's like, I gotta have a mixtape. I gotta do this and that. And what happened to the team game? What happened to it?
It's sad, man. It's sad. Hopefully it changes, but
European basketball is where it's at now. I've never watched European basketball. That's just me saying something.
I mean, who knows? I mean, people that watch European basketball, let us know down below.
Yeah, let us know. Maybe.
But also, though, Owen is also lying, too. I mean, he has one clip out there that he has 7 made threes in a game. So when he's saying he doesn't have a lot of clips out there, come on. But,
appreciate that.
But also, too, I mean, you played in the CSS. Thoughts on that? I mean, that was your first time. I've been trying to get Owen to play in the league for years, and Owen finally joined.
So. Hey. Had the free time this year, and I loved it. This guy knows how to put on a freaking tournament, man. Like, talk about shutting down a high school, getting all of his best friends together, getting a support crew of individuals that just gave their time up to create content, videos, pictures, take stats. First of all, who does that for free? Second of all, this guy has the network and the friend group. Talk about a salesman. But he's just a genuine guy. He's not even trying to sell people. He's just being awesome. And that's the kind of guy he is. And CSS was awesome. I would join that every year. I know that you said it's not going to happen, but I know something's going to go on. I appreciate you for having me.
Yes, sir,
yeah,
brother.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, your squad was definitely good. But
man, we should have won that thing, man. I don't even want to get started.
Hey, next year, bro.
Come on.
But lastly, what's one goal you've set for yourself for the end of 2025, and what advice would you give to anyone listening that wants to start their own business?
Yeah. One goal I have for myself is specifically my corporate job in sales is I want to get my first sale. I know that at the end of the year, there's not a lot maybe going on or new business I can drum up, but I just started and there's not a whole lot going on like after you get out of training. Like I literally just started this week. But I hope that our sales process is a little bit longer. I hope that I can get some business drummed up. And I'd love to go into 2026, at least with something on the calendar for me and what to look forward to. And that groundwork starts now. So it's same thing with the business. Like, if you want to start, there is no start tomorrow. It's start today. And that's kind of the mentality I've been taking to my job at work. And that's the kind of mentality you got to have if it's with podcasts, if it's with DJing, if it's with an Instagram account and being an influencer. You got to start now. Create content now. Start doing what you told yourself you were going to do yesterday, today, and take accountability. You have to. You have to push yourself. It sounds harsh, but you got to drive yourself to be the place you want to be at the end of the day.
Beautiful, bro. Well, listen, that'll do it for this podcast. Owen, love you, brother. Thank you for hopping on today's episode, man. It was awesome. You provided fantastic insight, bro. It was awesome. I mean, obviously, I've heard about this stuff before, but obviously, learning from you is incredible, bro. You know so much, and obviously you've done well and you're going to continue to do well, and I can't wait to be by your side through it all. So thank you, brother.
Thanks. Love you, brother. Everybody subscribe. This guy's the man. He puts out good content and he has great co-hosts, and this is awesome. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir, brother. Well, listen, episodes Tuesdays at noon. Make sure you like, comment, sub, and use code LionsCove. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.